Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to Nick Sirianni. He's probably not watching Star Wars this week. He's getting ready for the Chiefs. He's getting ready for Super Bowl 59. He's done a masterful job this year. We welcome and congratulate the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great, coach.
Good, Nick. Nick, congratulations to you. I mean, major, massive congratulations. How do you feel?
Yeah, excited, obviously, to be back in this spot. But it doesn't last long. I wish the wins would last a little bit longer, but you know, we get home that night, we watched and see who we were going to play, and then, you know, had some fun with the family, and then it's right back to okay, here we go, let's watch some tape on the Chiefs, and so feel good, but we felt good on Sunday, and now it's just back to business as usual.
Yeah, as it should be, and Nick, I totally respect that, of course, and I know most of this interview will be that, but let's just go to Sunday night a little bit more, the locker room. Your text messages coming in from family and friends and old teammates and old coach. Like, what was Sunday from 6:30 to midnight like for you?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool to be able to, to sit there and watch, you know, first and foremost is celebrating with the players and the other coaches. That's always cool. And going around and just telling everybody how appreciative you are of them and, you know, hey, we got one more game. Let's enjoy this and have one more game. And it was, you know, to have, you know, pictures with your family on the field with confetti, you know, kind of rolling down on you. That's cool. That's something. The kids playing catch and my brother's playing catch with my kids after the game on the field. All those things are memories that will always be there with you. And then, you know, just again, like with the players, celebrating with the players. That's such a special moment because you work so hard, you spend your lifetime to get there, and then this team spent, you know, the last whatever many months, almost 9 months to try to get there, and so, you know, that's special. That is special, and so that was a good night, and like I said, they don't last long because you're just always focused on what the next step is.
Nick, how important is it to get good work done in practice this week because the atmosphere becomes a distraction in New Orleans?
Yeah, the stuff that we need to do this week is get a big chunk of the game plan done and redefine it next week, but get a big chunk of it done and install it and have great practices here. I do think you can get good practices there. It's just different. It's just, you know, you're taking a bus to practice as opposed to walking out on your practice field. You have media obligations beforehand. So there's a little bit, your day's chopped up a little bit different, but really this next week and a half is about how we get better. Right. And that's been our goal each and every week. How do we get better this week? How do we get better this week to put ourselves in a position to be successful on Sunday, and that's the same message now. We'll need to go out and have good practices, and that's have good meetings and good walkthroughs, just like we've had this entire season.
Nick, what did you learn in Super Bowl 57 that will put that you can apply to Super Bowl 59 that will give the team a better chance to win?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be like, "Hey, this is the rematch," and it is a rematch. But this is a completely different team, and they're a completely different team, right? There's elements and pieces that are the same, and so we're not thinking. You know, you obviously will watch the game. You'll watch the game we played last year against Kansas City, in addition to all the film that you watch on them this year. But you know, this is the 2024 season. You know, when you go through, you know, I'm not going to get into everything we're going to do, but when every time you go through a game, hey, we played in a Monday night game. What can we do better on our Monday night schedule? What can we do better? What did we do well? Well, that was the same process we took in 2022. Now, you know, you lose the game in 22, and then you get back and you go through the same process. Win or lose, you go through the same process. What did we like? What did we not like? What can we do better? And so, that's from a scheduling, you know, atmosphere type deal. Like the things, like you don't get to this point of the year and say, as a football point, and go, hey, here's what we're going to do now, right? You go on, you know, that the football part is different. That's consistent. The scheduling stuff and those things like that. We have a couple tweaks that we'll make, and you know, in attempts to get better from it.
Is this team tougher than last year's team? How do you teach toughness to a team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it starts with having tough guys, right? And we have tough guys, right? And that's first and foremost. But I think you get what you emphasize as a coach. And we constantly, like, we look at toughness in three parts. We look at mental toughness, we look at physical toughness, and we look at relentless effort, which is a form of toughness. And so you were constantly trying to point those things out. Hey, watch the physical toughness of this block combination to the linebacker, and we'll show that in the team meeting. Then we'll show something like, hey, look at this first drive of what happened. We went three and out in this first drive, but look how we responded. Look at this mental toughness of this team, or you know, a defensive back gave up a play, and look how he responds with this PBU in a critical moment. That's mental toughness. And we're constantly showing our guys run with relentless effort to the football, or doing the selfless things with, you know, relentless effort. And so you just keep showing them over and over again. I think the a cool quote that I heard was, the burden of leadership is repetition. Like, you just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And like, coach, I can't do it. And you keep going over it and over it and over it and over it. And you just keep, and you just keep doing that. And, but I think, you know, you enhance that by what you do there. But at the end of the day, and at the start of the day, or however you want to say it, it starts with the players and their mentality and their mindset and their toughness, you know, of that.
Nick Sirianni with us here, of course, getting ready for Super Bowl 59. Nick, you're officially listed as an underdog. Now, that could change, but it hasn't yet. Are you getting, you know, some coaches use that as a rallying cry. Do you plan on using that as a rallying cry with your guys?
No, we don't care about that. We don't care about that.
Nick, it's quite a change. I mean, it is sort of a departure. We've been the big bully for a while now. Do you welcome the fact that we're the underdog to some degree?
Nick, I expected you to say no, because I think you're very confident in your team, basically, and that's an external that just is irrelevant to you. That was my expectation of what you would answer. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it. We love our team. I think, though, too, like, you're going in there against a team that's won the last two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a heck of a football team that's won 15 games in the regular season, has phenomenal players all over the field, has, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time on the opposite sideline. And, you know, I got so much respect for this team. And so, you know, again, those are things that you can't control. And so, yes, we're confident in our team, and I love our team. But, you know, that's something you can't control, is, you know, being the underdog. Like, it is whatever that it means, like, we don't care about that. It's about controlling what we can control. Because if you start trying to control, like, not control, if you start thinking about those things that you can't control, that, where does that stop? And so it's, again, here's our process, here's what we need to do, and let's go out and do it.
Nick, one of the things about the game, you know, you've controlled all year the line of scrimmage, and the tush-push has been a just incredible advantage now for multiple years. What Kansas City did was very impressive against Josh Allen last game. I mean, it's force versus force. Does it concern you a bit that they appear to be ahead of the curve at stopping that? I mean, how in your mindset is that as you prepare for this game?
Yeah, you look at every time you go into a game. I don't think it's a secret. You know, teams are going to know that we're running that, and anytime you go into that, you look at all the tape. You know, you watch every quarterback sneak that the defense has defended for the past couple of years. I mean, you don't stop it just this year. Like, hey, how is this coordinator plan to stop this for the past, you know, 2-3 years, right? Through 2-4 years. And so you look at all that, we'll look at the ones, and we've looked at the ones from the Buffalo game. They're obviously very good at it. So, you know, we're really good at it too. Like, when you get into games like this, I mean, there's a lot of moments where it's like, it's as good on good. You know, sometimes you go into a game and you're like, hey, and you look at, I don't know, maybe the turnover battle, and you say to yourself, hey, we got a big advantage here because we've taken care of the ball and they haven't. And you kind of go into that. But when you get into this, it seems like there's a lot of good on good. Hey, they're good at this. We're good at this. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got to play with fundamentals and technique, right? And I've said that from the very beginning. When player A is really good at something, is really good player, and player B is really good at something, really good player, when coach is really good at, you know, when the coach calls the right call and the other coach calls the right call, what gives in those scenarios? Well, it comes down to your detail and your fundamentals. And so that's going to be a big part of this game, is your detail and your fundamentals as you go through.
This Chiefs team, they've 17 consecutive wins in one-score games. Those details are part of what makes them so hard to beat. How do you overcome that, Coach?
Yeah, that's a very impressive stat. That means they when they get into those moments, they find ways to win. You know, you just continue to do the things that you've done. Like, I think our detail's been really good throughout the year. You know, when we talk about detail, we talk a lot about, you know, everyone being on the same page, and we talk a lot about situational football, and we talk a lot about fundamentals. And if you just go into fundamentals, like, at the end of the day, this game has some constants, right? It's about how you tackle. It's about how you block. It's about how you get off blocks. It's about how you take the football away. It's about how you protect the football. It's about how you catch the football. And so those details will always be constant in this game. The team that does that better, you know, has a better chance to win. And we'll focus on our details all week. That's something we can control and focus on those details all week, as I know they will as well. So, you know, but at the end of the day, we got to go out there and execute and call a good game as coaches and get the guys ready to play.
Nick, obviously it's a unique situation as, you know, your team and organization faces Andy Reid for the second time in a Super Bowl. I'm curious, you know, some coaches talk to other coaches quite a bit. You know, I'm sure you and Frank Reich, when he was coaching the Colts, I mean, I'm just curious, how often do you and Andy cross paths, interact? Is it literally just when it's my team versus your team, or are there other times during a year where you guys have some kind of communication?
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy. So,
sure.
You know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win, but, you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my other mentors that I reach out to, but looking at watching Coach Reid, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously, he's one of the best, you know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever, as I look at it, as I study it. So a lot of respect there. You know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for, for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information to each other, or, you know, I don't know if I have any information to give him, but I know I'd get a lot from him. So, no, I just can't tell you how much respect I have for him, and just the way he leads a football team, his offensive mind, and just total respect of everything that he's done in his career.
Nick, do you feel like you've improved at motivating your team, your guys? And how do you consistently get this response, this emotional response from your players at the start of every game? They come out ready to play.
Yeah, I think you get better at everything. If you're really working on everything, and you have and if you're realistic with yourself and say, hey, I need to get better here, and you always can get better, as you guys know. You're always looking for ways to get better. And so, you know, my constant message to the team is how are we getting better this week, you know, and it's always through toughness, detail, together is what we talk about a lot. And you know, I guess if I'm asking them to do that, I better be getting better myself. And so, yeah, I think so. That's my goal and that's my mission, is to always get better at that. I've spent spent a lot of time looking at different things, and you know, these guys are self-motivated too. They really are. Like, these guys want this thing bad. And I'm telling them, you know, I'm telling them the truth of football. Again, hey, the toughest team's going to win. Mental, physical, and who plays with great effort. Hey, the team that plays with great detail with their fundamentals and their situational football and being on the same page is going to win. Hey, the closest team together is going to win. And so you just find different ways of saying that over and over and over again, and to motivate what you want the culture to be. But at the end of the day, it's not the words; it's your actions that get your culture. You know, it's your habits and your actions. So, yeah, hopefully I've gotten better at that. That's always my goal. And again, at the end of the day, we're preaching the truths of football that were true when you played. Right, they're true when my dad played. They're going to be true when my sons play and when my grandsons play. So, which I don't have yet. So, but you know, that's the truth of football. And you just, you know, I think that everyone, when they really look at it, the best teams they've been on have been tough. They've been detailed and they've been together.
You know, Nick, if you win this game, I want you to know we are fully supportive of you taking the whole family to the podium. All right, just want you to know that. The kids,
well,
your
it.
Wife, the parents, take them all. Take them all, Nick. Hey, Nick, let me tell you this. Again, congratulations on what you've done to this point. You know this, but I'll say it. The town is beyond psyched. And we here with our show, and obviously WIP is a station, and I know I speak for the entire region when I say we truly wish you the best of luck in Super Bowl 59. And I don't know how else to put it other than good luck, and God bless you in the game, Nick.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick, stay well. Have fun out there, and we'll talk to you. Take care, Nick.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. James, I don't know what to say at the end other than good luck.
Yeah,
I
mean, just go win. Yeah.
Go win. That'd
go
be a little
win,
declarative. Like, Ruben, would that be a go win, Nick?
Nick, go win.
I think that's probably his goal, too. So he's got it.
I would say so.
Yeah, right, you know what you sounded like there at the end when you didn't want to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Like when you're first dating somebody and you don't want to be the one to hang up.
Well, it's just it's funny. So
great call.
It's funny. It's not how it felt to me, but I can understand how you would think that. I just didn't know how to land the plane.
I don't know.
That's a hard one.
I don't know how to land the plane when it's the last time we're going to talk to the Eagles coach before he coaches in the Super Bowl.
You're like, do good, Nick.
Yeah,
you got it, buddy.
You know, you can't
go
give
get him,
a,
kid.
You can't give him a go get him. You know?